So how did you become interested in, of all things, packing peanuts?
So during the last 14 months, we were establishing our lab. That is an experimental lab. That means we have lots of equipment that came into the boxes. And sometimes the equipment was small, but the box was full of packing peanut. And most of the time, we were dumping them out. And at some point, I thought that we are going to do something green for the society, namely making batteries and not releasing carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. But at the same time, or while doing that, we should not bother the atmosphere or do something environmentally not benign things. So that made me to think on those packing peanuts. And then I took them in a hand and started looking at it. And at some point, I realized that, oh, those are having hydrocarbons. Namely, it has carbon and oxygen that is needed for carbon production. And there is hydrogen too. So we could make carbon out of it, or I thought to make carbon out of it very easily. And eventually we did that, and that worked very well for the batteries. The immediate application we found for the batteries, the reason is, since we are working on batteries, we thought, let's put it for the battery as electrode material and find out whether it works. And it turned out to be really good.
So what did you know about the chemical structure and the chemical properties of the packing peanuts going in that enabled you to take the next leap to, this could be an interesting battery technology?
So now, if you look at the packing peanuts, those packing peanuts are of two kinds that we can get into the boxes. One is starch-based and another is polystyrene-based. Both of them got carbon, hydrogen, oxygen-containing molecules. And those molecules are really important to fabricate carbon. Now we extracted the carbon, our yield is around 20 to 25 weight percent, and rest water we released from the molecule to get that carbon. So it is again environmentally benign process, which we can also scale it up, and at some point we can make it in a bulk quantities so that it will be applicable to either battery technology, or there are many other technologies one can use that carbon.
So do I understand you correctly to say that you're breaking down the packing peanuts into their sort of constituent materials and then trying to use them as best you can?
So what happened is we thermally break that down, but at the same time we do use inert atmosphere. So if you try to just break it down in the atmosphere outside, then you will form carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, that is not good for the environment. So we have designed a process that takes those packing peanuts, then we flush the inert atmosphere through it. And then while doing that, we do have temperature that goes up. And then we break down the chemical bond between carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. In case of starch, only water molecule is released above 100 degrees Celsius. And then leftover is carbon that is remaining or keeping its own memory as a starch or foam-like architecture, and that's why we are getting this carbon sheet-like architecture that is due to its original memory or original structure itself.
When you have completed this process, everybody knows what a packing peanut looks like when they get it in the boxes like you got them. What does it then look like after you're done with it? Is it still shaped that way? Is it some sort of goo that you've now created? How does it look?
So actually, it retains it primary shape, but it shrinks a lot because the yield is only 20 to 25 percent, so almost 70 to 80 percent it is shrinking. The volume-wise, it is becoming smaller, but it can keep its original shape only in a smaller volume.
And that smaller shape, the smaller packing peanut that is left, is it primarily then just carbon that's left over?
It is 100% carbon because all the hydrocarbons are hydrogen-oxygen bonds are broken down. That is released out. And again, we are not releasing to the atmosphere. We are releasing that water also in the water, so that if by chance something is coming, like carbon soot is coming, that is pumped down to the water and not going out to the atmosphere. So it is 99.99% carbon. One can say pure carbon coming out.
And what do you do with that then near pure carbon? How do you turn that into something that would be battery technology? Again, remembering you're explaining it to a non-scientist.
Sure. So what happens once you have that black powder, that is again like a packing peanut but a smaller shape, then we have to gently grind it to make a free flowing powder. And that free flowing powder you could utilize as an electrode material for battery application. Namely, you have to put that powder with binder, that is polyvinyl difluoride based binder, in an NMP solution, that is an organic solvent. So we mix and homogenize that together. And then there is a copper-based current collector. We have to paste that slurry on the top of copper current collector. And eventually that becomes an electrode for battery application.
So now here's the stickier question, which is, how do you get people to give you back these packing peanuts after they're done with them in their natural form in such a quantity that it could be turned into this battery component and not, as your research says, filling up landfills, which is a bad endpoint for them?
Sure. A very interesting question. So what happens is, as you know, that whenever you get a box with electronics or chemicals that has packing peanuts, selectively you are going to take out whatever you needed from that box. So actually that box already has that packing peanut, which is can be repacked, and that can be send it back, or one can put it to the typical place where we have the collection of packing peanuts, and then we can process it very easily.
So you would seem like you have two choices. You can send it back to the pack and ship company that packed it in the first place, or you could send it on to the scientists like yourself, and you guys could make another application out of those.
Sure, that is what I mean.
So what is the next step here for your research? Where do you go from here?
So there are a few companies, I will not name them, but they already approached, and they really want to take care of those packing peanuts or polymer-based materials which are hazardous to the environment. And it looks like that if they fund, we might move to the next step, which is scaling up this process and then make this carbon in a bulk amounts and find even more other applications beyond batteries that can utilize those carbon-based materials.
Is this something that could be monetized either for you and your research or for the university in an intellectual property sense?
We did file a patent almost 6 months back, so we do have an invention disclosure, and provisional patent is already filed. So it is, again, not only belongs to me, it is belongs to Purdue University Chemical Engineering Department. So what is going to happen is, if it is going to become big, whole Purdue is going to become big too.
What do you think the companies that make the packing peanuts will think of your idea?
So actually, it is good for them too. Either they can sell that packing peanut directly to us, because that carbon we are making out of packing peanut, which has several advantages, namely, packing peanut derived carbon is very thin. It is not a submicron or several micron particle. That's why you can charge the battery faster. So there is a good advantage. Since it is a porous material as a packing peanut, light in weight, we can make porous carbon out of it. And eventually that helps to make the battery also store more energy. So actually they should be very happy that we found some other application. And as such, packing peanuts are not expensive. So you don't have to selectively take trashed packing peanut. One can take the new one, just brand new, made for this application, and one can utilize.
That idea of porous carbon is kind of fascinating to me because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but let me try and interpret this. What you're saying is that since you have the pores in the carbon, i.e. little spaces in something that is otherwise solid, you can put things in those spaces that make it a more efficient material. Am I on the right track?
Yes, yes, that's absolutely right.
And what would you then do with that? How do you envision that as a technology going forward? In other words, what would you put in those spaces to make it a more efficient battery component?
So now, again, this is just a beginning. We are now exploring more and more. Although we have this carbon, we have to reduce the first cycle capacity loss. Mainly, whenever you have a highly porous material, it consumes some of the lithium in the beginning and never gives you back. So we are working on it to minimize that first cycle capacity loss. So battery should be cycling much longer time, not a shorter time. So that is the ultimate goal. So we are trying to find that solution to that, and we believe that we can do that very effectively soon. And once we have that, then this carbon should be ready to go for a higher version or better batteries.
I realize I haven't asked. Are you thinking of these as alkaline batteries that would you would use once and then throw away, which of course would be more environmentally hazardous potentially, or are you thinking of them as your typical rechargeable lithium nickel cadmium batteries that you recharge and you use over and over as long as possible?
So actually, we are using this carbon for multiple rechargeable batteries. So far, we have demonstrated they are good for lithium-ion batteries, which is rechargeable. And again, it could be environmentally benign because the component in the rechargeable batteries could be carbon versus lithium iron phosphate cathode. And both of those components are environmentally benign. So we can make batteries which are safer and cheaper for the environment. What was the other question?
That was it, basically. Is it a rechargeable or not? How quickly, this is always the tough question for researchers such as yourself, how quickly might something like this make it to market? Are we talking months, years?
It just depends on how much is the interest outside. As you know, that battery interest is huge in the United States and all over the world. So based on the funding and how fast we can approach that high-level production, we can approach to the market within a year or so.
Do you see this as the first step into what will be long-term battery research for you and your researchers, or do you envision moving on to something else that's not necessarily battery technology from this?
So now, always you have to keep your legs on two stones. So what we are doing here is, although there could be application for batteries, but there are many other applications out there for the carbon. The carbon we are getting is micron size. And that micron size carbon is very good for your printer toner inks. And the reason is our eyes can read only micron size. We cannot read nano size. So if you put a small amount of binder and water into those carbon particles, it's ready to be a printer toner ink. As you know that you also use car every day, all the car tires are black. And the reason is they do use more than 20% of carbon black into the tire. And the reason they use is to dissipate the heat. When you put the, or you have a friction of tire with the road, it creates lots of heat and you have to dissipate that heat to the atmosphere, and carbon does that effectively. And there are many other applications. One can make paints and conducting things out of it. So there are numerous applications. So one by one, we are going to find out what other application one can find out and how effective this particular carbon is for that application. Based on that, we can go forward.